Good morning. We are joined today by Mr. Andrew Bell, Regency Mines. He's kindly going to talk to us about today's announcement, RNS, at the Horse Hill, one oil discovery. Good morning, Andrew. You must be a happy man.
I'm doing well. It's a good... I was up late last night because we were all involved with preparing this announcement to go out, but it was worth it.
Yeah, just reading the RNS, it says no water, 100% dry, light sweet oil has flown to the surface. It's not bad going, really, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like driller's heaven.
Yeah, driller's heaven. Especially when you're shown 900 barrels, it could get bigger.
It is. And as the point that was, I think, made in UCOC's announcement, when Witch Farm first flowed, it was flowing in tests at 600 barrels per day. So this is no mean flow rate.
Well, your average stable rate of over 1,360 barrels.
Yes, I know. And I think it's... because there's a lot of private investors in these stocks. There aren't institutions, and maybe that's one of the challenges that people will face, is that this is now institutional projects, but these are not institutional-grade companies. Probably some companies there, like UCOC, will be looking to become a kind of institutional-grade company or are in the process of trying to do that. And that probably means they're going to be trying to consolidate the interests in this area a little. I can see moves in that direction. But the private investor naturally doesn't understand particularly well why this announcement is so significant, and I'd say much more significant even than the other announcements that have been made.
I totally agree, because you look at the market. I know you guys don't care about the share price,
yeah,
the movements daily, but they're missing it. People are missing this.
Yes, and you know, talking just in very general terms, the British Geological Survey obviously had its interpretation of this area, which has proved incorrect, and they'll have to go back and reinterpret. But the Weald Basin is a sort of part of a broader area which you could call the Paris Basin, and there hasn't been any activity really in France because the French government made it very obvious very early that they were not keen on fracking, and people were looking at these things primarily as sort of potential fracking opportunities in the south of England. But where will everyone be in 20 or 30 years? Anybody who's been proclaiming the death of oil is, I think, going to be thinking again.
The death of oil, for sure. Can I mention the operators, Angus? They must be really happy, especially what they've got next door.
Yes, I mean, I'm not going to speak for Angus, but definitely they have a well next door they're already producing from the sandstones, and it was originally drilled much deeper by a major, and they still have the logs from that, and I think the logs show that they have the same horizons. And they have obviously they've been the real one of the reasons they sold to us is that they have control of that project, and they have a relatively smaller percentage in this one and don't have control, and so they're focusing, because people sometimes ask us, well, why did they sell to you?
That is the $1 million question. Why did Angus sell to you?
Yeah. Well, they didn't do too badly, because we did point out to them that our share price was very low, and that our expectation would be that because it was sort of flat on its back and trading so little, if you compared it with the other stocks that were in this asset, and if you looked at the overall valuation of the asset, it would look anomalously cheap, and we'd expect the price to go up sort of two or three times just as a base. And that was just the mathematics. And we found they'd been doing the same calculations themselves, which made them very ready to take our shares. And that's worked out well for them. So there was the price we paid, but there's also a kind of marriage value in the value we got out of it by buying at that price, and a value they got out of it by having shares.
Yeah, very true. They looked a very good deal for yourselves and Angus. The news, do you think people are actually missing this news? or will it unfold even more, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's been a terrific and interesting story that when we were looking at this in 2014, looking at the target horizons and sort of the order of priority of them, with the exception of something in the Portland, they didn't really come good. And then this horizon that was, you know, everyone had kind of dismissed has turned out to be interesting, and then more than interesting, having a lot of oil, and then actually to be phenomenal. But this Kim Origin is actually what the oil in the North Sea is produced from, and the conventional wisdom had been that it hadn't been buried deep enough, hadn't entered the oil window in the south of England, and there wasn't going to be oil there, and it wasn't going to be economic. And now, well, it's looking like the North Sea.
It looks, the way the operation's going at the moment, it looks very economical, and it's going to get very interesting, that's for sure. Can you touch on maybe Mr. Lenegas, Dave Lenegas, maybe unfairly treated in the media and the press?
Okay, well, I'm not going to comment on that, and it would be rash for me to do so. But it would be wrong to pass on without saying a word of congratulation to David Lenegas, because although I think the people who wanted to drill this and were so keen on it saw some potential, were others. When the original thing wasn't performing as per prospectus, the oil wasn't found in the expected places, the energy to try and make a win out of a lose and to carry on and see what could be made of this, that vim and energy, the source of that was, of course, David. And so credit to him, because I don't think we'd be here today without that. So for all the criticism that may be made about sort of the thing being overblown, without him, we would not be reinterpreting this whole thing today, I believe.
He was the cornerstone of Horse Hill, and it wouldn't be here today without him.
Yeah. And we've all done well, but not in the way we expected. But it doesn't matter. It just shows somehow, sometimes, that just pushing ahead and making things happen, you get nice surprises. But anyway, everybody's going to make money out of this, and we can all be happy.
I totally agree, Andrew, with your comments. And a lot of people give the big guy too much stick, in my opinion. Are you going to do a placing with your company? This is the question. As you can see, a lot of the Horse Hill sister companies have done this.
Well, of course, I'm allowed to answer it, but I could get in trouble if I answered it the wrong way. The answer is that we understood very, very well why they did the placings in the way they did. We, of course, had paid for this partly in shares. And we also had some receivables that have either come in or coming in. And we didn't need to do that straight away. We also felt that because the share price had been so low, it would be kind of unfair to shareholders to be hitting them straight away with the dilution inherent in the placing, and because the thing was so undervalued. But that if the thing multiplied, if a company multiplied in value enough and people could see the upside, people would actually be expecting us and asking us to raise money to continue the progress. And we'd rather be in the situation where people are coming to us and saying we should do it, and can I be on the list, and can I, you know, take some, which a couple of people have done already, rather than going out and the moment the thing starts to move, doing a placing. So there's arguments each way, but we would like to. And we're shareholders ourselves. We don't want to issue shares at a low price. In fact, we have no options, and those options depend on us reaching higher prices. So we are completely aligned with shareholders' interests here. We want to get the thing, the company to grow. That can't be done without new capital at some stage. But people have to have the confidence that we're going to use that well, and that we're building on success rather than using new money as a crutch to prop up failure. So that's an ambiguous answer.
Yeah, I understand that, Andrew. Obviously, you will have to raise funds in the future for the company to go forward. But shareholders just short term, would be very interested in your views, please.
And it's natural. And the answer is, of course, well, yes, at some point we will, but we want to put it off for as long as possible.
That sounds very positive for holders. If you want to put it off, diluting the shares to raise funds, and I'm sure they'll be well received in the public domain.
Yeah, thanks very much. Good to speak to you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Andrew. Thanks very much for talking to us. And I think today's interview has been very interesting. It's nice to hear Mr. Lenny Gass getting a mention. Like I said before, he was the cornerstone of this, and he's done a lot of work. And also, it looks quite exciting for the Horse Hill Sisters going forward. And we don't tip shares in LSE talk, as you know, but it's definitely a story worth following. And keep, put them on your watch list. All right, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.